gestos.
Hello everyone. If everyone can slowly take their seats. This is the last NIPSIS talk for 2020. Thank you all for joining us. This is the 14th talk series that Bishop Emilianos has been kind enough to do for us, and that we're putting online slowly so that more people can come and listen. Just so that everyone knows, it's not a youth event exclusively. This event is open to everyone. And we encourage you to tell people about it so that in person we get more and more people. Because as you all know, there's a different vibe, for lack of a better word, when you come in person than when you listen to it online, because you have His Grace's presence and you have everyone. Yeah, it's a different experience. So thank you all for coming. Toilets are outside to your left. If you have a question, please ask throughout and wait for the microphone to come to you. And enjoy. And please stand for prayer.
Στο όνομα του Πατρός, του Υιού και του Αγίου Πνεύματος, αμήν. Δόξα σε Θεό, σε επίσημα δόξα σε βασιλεία, φοράει ένα παράκλητο πνεύμα της αληθείας, που ανταχού παρών και τα πάντα πληρώνει θησαυρός των αγαθών και ζωής χορηγός. Ερθέ και σκήνουσε ημών και καθάρισε εμάς από πάση κυρίδος και σώσε να αγαθέτες ψυχάς ημών.
Does anyone have any questions from everything we've said so far? Eleni, I think we have two questions and one. Huh?
Do we have one question from online? Hello, if this question is not suitable or relevant, I don't mind you ignoring it. In talk 11, you mentioned the devil never expected that God would be incarnated as a man through a woman. So he would have been completely enraged when it occurred. There's not much written about Vanegas' personal life, but do we know if she had personal attacks from the devil, like the saints who did, and how she overcame them?
Does anybody want to say something on this question? Any opinions or anything you want to say about that? So basically the question is, I don't know if you can hear me, can you hear me? If you can't hear me, you can? All right. The question is, if Panagia had personal attacks from the devil, like some saints did, and how she overcame them. We don't know a lot of things about Panagia's life. There are a few things written in the Gospels, there are a few things written in some apocrypha, that we call them apocrypha evangelia, apocrypha Gospels, which is more like a tradition, and we can't really use them the same way that we would use the actual Gospels. But the fathers of the church, they say that Panagia, the reason why Panagia was so holy is because since she was little, she entered the temple of God, but she always kept her mind clean and around God. And I guess this is what increased her love towards God, and this is what helped her become holier and holier. We don't have any indications as to what sort of personal attacks Simar had from the devil. But I can tell you that after Christ, maybe Panagia was the person who felt the most pain ever. She knew that her son was conceived in a miraculous way. She believed in him. She could see him performing miracles. She knew that he is the Son of God, and yet she had to see him being crucified. And the emotional and psychological pain Panagia went through was not just of the one that a mother would go through, it was way deeper. And I believe this is why Panagia can understand us when we are in pain. She can feel us because she went through so much pain herself. The same way that Christ can sense what it is to be human, because he was not just God, he was also human. And this is, we could say, one, how can I put it, one style of temptations that Panagia had. It was from the Jews that they persecuted and ended up crucifying her son. And then they persecuted the rest of the church while she was still alive. Sometimes our temptations, they don't come directly from the devil. To see the devil literally, it's not very common. Although it happens, it's not very common. And God knows why. Maybe we wouldn't be able to handle it. Maybe, I don't know. God knows why. But this could be good in a way because we won't be that scared. But this could be tricky in a way because sometimes the temptations, they approach us through our fellow people like they did with Panagia. And then the temptations, they can be more cunning and they can be more difficult to deal with. For example, if in a family someone is trying to fast and someone else is teasing him or her or is creating problems, this is a temptation rising from the people around us. The same way that the fellow Jews crucified Christ. And sometimes we're trying to do the right thing, or we're trying to go closer to God, and a friend might approach us and tell us just one thought. And this thought could put so much doubt in our soul that can turn everything upside down inside us and make us go away from our original aim and make us go even away from the church or from what we wanted to do. Γιώργος Σιμλιανός says an example there in this book somewhere. He says that there is a girl that wants to become a nun, and a friend of hers, a very good friend of hers, who's also close to church, talks with her and tells her, of course it's very nice to become a nun and dedicate your life to God, but what's wrong with raising a family? And what's wrong with raising children within the church? And what's wrong with staying in the world and help others? Now, this is a very logical, thank you, a very logical thought. But this thought If we don't have vigilance, if we don't have nipsi, if we don't know what we're looking for, can literally destroy us, can make us change direction. I remember, Amar have told you this before, when I told Yerdem Ilyano that I want to become a monk, he told me, you have to go and tell your father. Good luck to me. I had to go to my island and face my father, who would have been extremely negative to the point of no return. So I went there, and I didn't know how to say it. My grandmother had built a church, St. Anna, in my island. So we drove up there. It was myself in the car. My dad was driving, and I also had my little sister back then. She was little back then. I don't know, kindergarten or something. So I told my dad, the monastery is a paradise of, I don't even know how to express it in English, of not worrying about anything. And therefore I chose to become a monk, and I'm leaving. He froze. And my younger sister got the message, and she started crying, and I was holding her. She started crying. She broke my heart. But when all this was happening, which was very emotional, I thought to myself, I didn't know anything about Nipsi, but I thought to myself, this is not time for thinking. This is time for executing what I decided. And I didn't let myself think. If I was to let myself think, I wouldn't have been destroyed. Because if you try to negotiate with emotions and with thoughts, you will get in big trouble. So this temptation was from, and everybody faces this sort of temptations. It's not the devil in front of you, it's the person that you love, it's the person that you care about, or a stranger, but still a person. So the devil can work through others. And sometimes through other people's mistakes, sometimes they don't even mean to tempt us, but God allows for them to make mistakes, and their mistakes, they put us in a lot of trouble, emotionally and physically. So this was my way out, and thank God that this came to my mind, because I would have been lost. It was not time for thinking, because I have made up my mind what I was going to do. It was time for executing. And I thought to myself, this is going to be very tough. Regardless, it doesn't matter, it has to be done. I don't know how, God help me. I don't know how it will be done, it has to be done. And of course, I never regret it. And people come around after, once they see that you're stable in your decision to follow Christ, regardless what this direction in the church would be. But it was so difficult that basically I had to walk to the port to leave. Not only he wouldn't drive me there, but probably he locked me out of the house.